Welcome to The Midday with Norman and Stephanie, and we have guests today. Here's company.
We do. We have Chris Guapis, who is a Baroque trumpeter, and Bob Wimkin, who is the co-director of the Renaissance Ensemble, Pifaro. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
They are here because they are performing this week and teaching and doing master classes and all around talking about early music as part of the Madison Early Music Festival.
Now, you said, Bob, a few minutes ago that maybe the numbers are down because it's not early enough.
We have been, over the past few years, addressing a lot of Renaissance interest, and this year happens to be a Baroque year. And so some of the people who are devotees of Renaissance instruments might have stayed away, but we also have a new crop of Baroque people here that's very, very nice to see, new faces.
Do you get into the sort of what we would call unfamiliar to us today instruments in the Baroque era?
Well, there are quite a few. There are quite a few that that we don't hear very often. We hear mostly the sort of Baroque predecessors of our familiar modern instruments. Some of them a little less familiar, as Chris can tell you later. But we're doing pretty much mainstream things today, as well as some Renaissance.
You've set up some interesting contrasts here. I don't think we've done this to the extent that we're planning to do it today, in that we'll hear ostensibly the same piece of music, but in two very different performing traditions.
We've learned a lot about performance practices, and you two actually live that in your careers. And we also hear that in the recordings that we have available here in the library, and we're going to hear some of those contrasts. Can you give us an idea of what we'll be listening to?
Yeah, we are contrasting modern instrument interpretations of a couple of Baroque pieces. For instance, the Water Music Suite in F, the overture from Handel's Water Music. This happens to be a Handel week, so we're going to be listening to Handel in this half hour. And also a Bourée from the Water Music Suite, both in modern instrument interpretations as well as what we historical or Baroque instrument interpretations.
So they don't get much more big and modern and lush than the Berlin Philharmonic?
I don't think
Handel.
So.
So we'll start with the overture to the Water Music by Handel, same composer you're going to hear twice, but here it is as played about 20 years ago by the Berlin Philharmonic with Raphael Kubelik conducting. Well, it was big.
And slow there at the beginning.
Yeah, very much so.
Chris, you're a Baroque trumpeter, and we were talking a little bit before we went on about the valveless trumpet. That's what the Baroque is about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that was what the trumpet was. That was how the trumpet was made before valves were invented, not until the 1820s. So it's basically a straight tube. You could make it out of a hose and a funnel, and you'd have the same exact...
Sounds like early music to me.
But the trumpet is the instrument that has changed the most, actually, in the modern orchestra that we have today. So it is a very different beast. And I think because of that, it has some wonderful tendencies. The reason why we call it the natural trumpet is that it can only play certain notes in the natural harmonic series, and some of them are a little bit out of tune to our modern ears.
So speaking of different beasts, shall we hear for contrast that same overture, but it's 40% shorter?
40% shorter.
That sounds like some kind of
an advertising
hype there. But
Water Music Light.
Yes. Now with less water.
And in this case, the performance is by the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra led by Nicholas McGagan. Compare and contrast. crisp.
And transparent.
And 40% less.
So, obviously a smaller ensemble. How would you compare? Let's say Berlin Philharmonic, will you be talking, what, maybe 70 or 80 players?
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
And how many in this instrumentation?
Maybe around 40.
Still that many?
35, 40, possibly. I think that Philharmonia has a good size string section, which is, of course, the core of the ensemble. So,
but, you know, they don't play with the vibrato that the other played with. So you have a different sound, as I said, a more transparent sound. It sounds mm-hmm. like a much smaller ensemble.
Well, you know, I think there are two things that inform Baroque playing. And we mentioned while it was playing that you could certainly tell the difference in the characteristics of the instruments themselves. And modern instruments are designed to play in these long flowing lines of lots of volume and dynamic contrast capabilities, whereas the Baroque instruments are designed more for articulation, crisp articulation. And I think the two things that informed the Baroque players most was the dance. This music danced, and almost all did. And also rhetoric. It was all about the spoken word. It was all about voice. And even when you're playing instrumental music, you're informed by rhetorical style. And so the gestures are smaller. It's more spoken music than it is expansion and length and
Bob is moving his arms very wide
yes,
in the studio.
I'm trying to come up with the
thank
the
you for doing
word.
The play-by-play there.
Where's but the camera when you need it?
Is that similarity to the voice or a spoken word because of it historically developed from vocal music?
Certainly. I think a lot of it had to do with growing out of the period in which the humanists in the 16th century revived classical learning, knew Greek and Roman poetry, and consequently they were fluent in Greek and Roman metrical features, and they wrote accordingly. The composers were all trained this way, and so they wrote with a poetic, with a vocal sensibility. It was always about the voice. And this is especially true in the 17th into the early 18th century. But dance, too. And I think it's important to note that a lot of these overtures and other sections are based on actual dances. Mm-hmm. And consequently, the gesture, especially in French Baroque dance, the gesture with the hands or with the body were reflected in the music. And that's one thing that we lost as we left the Baroque period, and Raphael Kubelik and the Berlin Philharmonic weren't thinking along those lines when they played the piece.
I gather not. Well, speaking of dances, the bourrée, that was one of the more up-tempo dances, wasn't it?
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
And so we can contrast a latter-day interpretation of a more modern-looking bourrée interpretation and then compare that with a slightly earlier interpretation. And again, let's see, now who do we have this time? We're going to contrast
Los Angeles
Chamber Orchestra. Gerard mm-hmm. Schwartz conducting.
Playing on modern instruments, but with some sensitivity to Baroque style.
This is the bourrée from the Water Music Suite, an F by Mr. Handel.
More music of Handel. That was the suite in F major from the Water Music, the Bourrée. That one was Gerard Schwartz conducting the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra.
So regarding the tempo of that, could you dance to it?
You could. You definitely could.
You might break into a sweat.
You might.
Well, I continue to maintain that instead of some of the things you hear at a lot of these aerobic places, you know, it should be this kind of music. Much classier and also give you a good workout.
Great idea.
Great idea.
Chris, you were mentioning while we were listening that the bow shapes of the violins are different between the modern instrument and the Baroque violin, and that leads to a little bit of different shaping.
Yeah, what we were talking about was how we noticed the on this recording and on typical modern instrument recordings, the sound shape is more like a square or a block, whereas with and that would be connected with the way the violin bows, modern violin bows are pretty straight, whereas a Baroque bow has a curve to it, and that helps warm the sound in the middle and also put some shape on the sound on the ends. And I think it's a good visualization for a generalization of the different kinds of phrasing between the modern instruments and period instruments.
Mm-hmm. And Bob, you were mentioning that it almost has a staccato feel and not as much of, coming off at the end delicately or...
Mm-hmm. Within the longer phrases, there isn't the kind of smaller gesture that we would, which I just did with my voice, which we would do in proclaiming this text or in declaiming this text as a rhetorician would if it had text. It doesn't have that kind of shape. There's more of this kind of straightforward drive that would work great in a gym or something. You just keep you driving,
set your metronome and go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's just this internal variety in texture and in shaping and smaller units that draw attention to detail rather than thinking in this, as Chris says, in this long, straight line of things.
Is that what we'll hear if we take that same bourrée out of the hands of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and put it in the hands of Le Concert de Nation?
I think we will, and I think we may be a little surprised at what Jordi Savall does with it.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. I'm almost surprised the instruments can take it even for a minute 45.
That's right. It's certainly a quicker, but even within that fast tempo, the gestures are clear. And I think one of the points that comes clear out of this is how conversational Baroque music is in the little trio between the two oboes and bassoon. They're just in conversation with one another, and it was an energetic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens so that the strings are back and forth with the reeds, and it's part of this whole rhetoric of Baroque music that we had to rediscover and are beginning to do that. Have begun to do that and are making good strides.
Well, let's go about 5 minutes late with the quiz question today. Shocking, isn't it? But we can do that for a worthy cause here. And to hear a piece that actually has a contrast within itself.
That's the overture to the suite in F major of the Water Music. Again, Jordi Savall, Le Concert des Nations.
So starts with that slow, stately effect, and then the next time through, definitely picks it up.
We're out of our seats dancing.
All that dancing. Well, it's a short, fast excursion in comparing styles when performing Baroque music, and I'm reminded of something Franz Bruggen said when I interviewed him one time and referred to these recordings that he had made way back on the old Archive label, and I asked if he ever took those out and listened to them again. He said, yes, just for laughs. Because he had learned so much about early performance technique in the intervening years.
That's certainly the case.
Mm-hmm. So it's still a dynamic field. Thanks for being with us today. And the info again about the Madison Early Music Festival?
It is ongoing, and there are concerts on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, with Quicksilver, Thursday evening, where most of the visiting artists come together and perform together, which is a real treat. Friday night is the Baroque Band, and then Saturday is the all-festival concert. And it's the Music of Handel this week, the 9th annual Madison Early Music Festival. For tickets, 608-262-2201. Or you can just search Madison Early Music Festival on the search engine to find the website, because it's a very long website address.
Yes, and one misstroke and it will blow the whole. You never know where you're going to end up. If you have just one wrong stroke in there. Our guests have been Chris Kwapis and Bob Winken. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much.